And on the line now to discuss something which isn't improving either. That is the lot of parents trying to send children back to school at this time of the year is Áine Lynch from the National Parents Council Primary. Good morning, Áine, and thank you so much for joining me.
Good morning.
Áine, there's a couple of things I want to discuss, but maybe you could just, for those who are, and I am going to be honest about this, unlucky enough not to have children, because anybody who has had the joy and the pleasure of having children will appreciate that all the bad is outweighed by the good. But maybe for those who are not facing the problems at the moment, what are the most pressing pressures that are under parents or are on top of parents at this time of year?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of pressures, but I think it's specifically relating to some of the things that have been in the media recently. A lot of the pressure can involve around finances. So actually children going back to school in September can be a huge financial burden for parents and families. So as well as the things that you expect, like uniforms and books and things like that, there's, I suppose, an ever-increasing costs in terms of costs for things like photocopying and art supplies and swimming. And then there's this other cost that's called voluntary contributions.
That is something that I wanted to come on to in a minute, Áine, but seeing as you've mentioned it straight away, can I put it to you that the voluntary contribution, from what I can see, is anything but voluntary?
Yeah, I mean, we do know from doing surveys with parents that some schools don't ask for voluntary contribution at all. And we do know in some schools that parents do feel that it's voluntary. But we also know that in a significant amount of schools that parents feel under pressure to pay it. And they say that it's not anonymous. So that in itself causes a pressure. So, yeah, I think there is a rising issue for parents in the fact that they may not be able to afford it. They may not feel that it's appropriate to pay it even in a free education system. But they get reminders and they get texts and they get letters sent home with their children that their voluntary contribution hasn't been paid yet.
And we have heard anecdotally, albeit, but still we have heard it, that some teachers and some schools have actually named out the children in front of the class whose parents haven't made those contributions.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the issue around finances and schools with parents is it's reflecting the difficulty that schools are under as well. So schools are constantly trying to balance their books. The boards of management are constantly trying to balance their books. They're not balancing. The capitation grant has reduced over the years, and the capitation grant refers to how much grant a school gets per child in the school. And that's been reducing over the last number of years. So that's putting schools under a lot of pressure. Now, unfortunately, that pressure is now going on to parents, which isn't appropriate and shouldn't be done. But I think what we need to do is kind of step back a bit and say, look, as a society, do we value our education system or not? And if we do, we have to properly fund it. Because this conversation about whether schools should ask for voluntary contributions, whether they shouldn't, whether there should be book rentals, all of these kind of conversations really come back to the underpinning problem of the fact of the value of education within this country.
Now, Áine, as you heard when I was introducing you, my first guest this morning was Donal Brennan. We were talking about the housing crisis. Now, we have you, and we're talking about the educational crisis. Now, really and truly, to complete the Holy Trilogy, all I need is somebody to talk about the health situation. Can you square the situation that you see parents in at the moment with some of the government comments that we're the fastest growing economy in Europe, that we're the best buy in class, that our GDP is flying along, and that we're doing so well?
No, and I think it does. It's these competing, I suppose, urgencies that we constantly have as a society, I suppose. So different weeks, there's a different urgency. So one week it might be the fact of rural broadband, the next week it might be health. So there's constantly these competing urgencies. But I think when you look at all of the issues that happen in society, at the root of a lot of the solutions is education. So I think if you're looking at all the different areas around mental health and I suppose criminal justice and all of those kind of areas, if we have a good education system and the best education system, then we are looking at the preventative way of dealing with some of those issues into the future. And I think what we currently have is a lot of stress between families and schools. And we know from research that when parents are engaged in their children's education and communicating well with the school, then children do better in education. And what we're creating at the moment for some families is a relationship with the school around finance rather than education. So if you take a family who may be really, really struggling to meet the financial requirements of their children going back to school, they're getting letters coming home saying this hasn't been paid, that hasn't paid, another letter saying something else has to be paid. The stress involved in that relationship between the school and that family just increases and increases and increases. And if that parent then feels that they need to go in and speak to the school about their child's learning and education, that can become very difficult for that parent to do. So it's not just, we're not just talking about, you know, financial hardship here. We're also talking about educational hardship and damaging that really important relationship between the family and the school.
And the other side of it, Anya, and I hate, again, I suppose I am linking what we're talking about now with our previous item, but like that must be multiplied tenfold if you're a parent with children and you're residing in emergency accommodation and you're trying to facilitate their school education.
Absolutely, and there, I mean, there are so many implications for families who are homeless and maybe living in one room in a hotel. I mean, children often travel huge amount of miles in the morning and the evening to get to their school that they were in before to try and keep some continuity. Families can be moving quite regularly and that again can be difficulty. But on the financial front, they might be in a new school with a new uniform, with new book lists, and then that can change again. Doing homework in an evening can become very, very difficult, if not impossible, in the living conditions around. So there's a whole load of more stresses that approach those children and their education and those families than it would be for other children, I think.
If you had the ear right now of Richard Bruton or the secretary of his department, give me three proposals that you would like to see implemented to ease the burden on parents and make this time of the year less stressful.
Well, you see, I think this gets to the root of it. I think we have to go beyond the Department of Education because it's about whether we value education or not. So that then goes to government, whole of government. Because if we just stick with the Department of Education, they have a budget. They have a finite amount of resources. So if we say, well, you need to give schools more in their capitation grant, then that'll come from somewhere else. And I think one of the debates around this that I suppose I've been engaged in quite a bit over the last week is, well, why shouldn't parents pay more for their children to get what they need from education? But then that's suggesting that we educate young people in Ireland for those young people and for those families. But we don't. We educate people for a better society. I think when we go back in history and look at why the state decided to provide for free education for primary and then post-primary, it wasn't to reduce the burden on families. It was actually to make this country a better place, because in investing in young people's education and lifelong education, which we invest in now, we create a better society for all. So I think when we're constantly just, you know, talking about it in the context of making it more, I suppose, ease the burden, as you say, for parents, or reduce the stress for schools in terms of fundraising and everything else, I think as a society we're missing that point of what a properly funded education system is for. And it goes way beyond, I think, the outcomes for those children, those families, but it comes as the outcomes for us as a society as whole.
Okay, you have the ear of Leo Varadkar. Give me two or three things that you would like to see him tell the government to do to lighten the load.
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, and this has been talked about, I've heard a number of times over the last week, is that we actually need to have an independent review of how much it costs to run a school. And that's light, heat, everything else, make sure the upkeep, but also how much it costs to implement the curriculum as is intended when it was developed. And because I think we can keep saying, well, we should increase capitation, we should increase resources, but nobody has actually got an eye to, well, what would it cost to provide it as it should be. And I think until we have that figure, it's very difficult to say what we want. So I think the first thing we would need to do is get an independent review of how much it costs to run schools on a day-to-day basis and how much it costs to implement the curriculum in the way that it was intended. And I think then we need to have a roadmap as to how we're going to get from where we are now to there.
Are you suggesting, so, Anya, that the figures that the, and again, it has to come back to the Department of Education, but that the figures that they're basing it on are pretty much outdated?
Well, I don't think we have those figures. I mean, we have a capitation grant that goes up and down, but we haven't had any recent, to my knowledge, review of how much it costs to run the school and implement the curriculum. I mean, I haven't seen any figures for that. So I think rather than saying let's tinker around with what we have and try and increase it, we need to see what actually this should cost and then work towards that.
Now, the one thing we do have, and again, Anya, it's anecdotal, but I have great faith and great belief in the ordinary, common, decent person. And the one thing that we certainly do have are the figures that it costs to send a child back to school at this time of year. And I have heard some figures in the last week that are just astronomical. I think for a secondary school, it was costing the parents somewhere around £1,400 to send a child back.
Yeah, no, I suppose we just cover the primary school years and the early years, so I wouldn't be as clued into the secondary school figures. But certainly I think it can be very expensive, and particularly when you have more than one child. The costs just do increase and increase. And I think for parents as well, you might, you know, as soon as the child goes back in September, they're waiting for the letters asking for money. Like it's the immediate, within the first couple of weeks, the letters start coming, voluntary contributions, photocopying, art supplies, swimming. So it's almost like it's very hard to budget for, because you're just waiting to have the letters come in. And then if you're timesing that by two or three children, and in some cases even more, for any family that's a huge economic stress. And for some families it's an impossibility. And we know that some families go and borrow this money, increasing the pressures within the family as well. So something has to be done. I mean, we talk about it every year. I've been in this job now for 11 years, and every year we have the same conversations. So I think, you know, at this time, as you say, of where we are more economically sound, we need to make a decision as to whether we're going to address these issues.
Well, certainly I wholeheartedly agree with you, Anya, that if you don't invest in a child's education, you are definitely failing to invest in the future of a country. I heard a figure, it was last week, for a primary child of £800 to send them back to school. Is that possible?
It's very difficult to tell, because there's so much variation around the country. That would be a lot higher than the figures that we would get. But whether in some individual circumstance it would be that high, I wouldn't be able to comment on. But that does seem very high.
Yeah, but you're looking at, for argument's sake, I know within my own family that there are two of my grandchildren now in primary school. One of them is there until 3 o'clock in the day, the other one is there until two. And within 2 years' time, there'll be three of them in primary school. So, I mean, that's going to be a big draw on their parents.
It is, and I think again, we go back to the fact that it's a stress on the parents and it's a stress on the school. So we're not addressing it if we just keep the solutions at local level. If we're tinkering around with what's happening in the schools, we're not addressing the problem. I mean, fundamentally, it seems that the schools are not getting enough money to run the school on a day-to-day basis. So we need to look at that as a whole of government approach, because even looking at it within the Department of Education, if you asked me what could be cut so that these costs could come down, I can't see any other area of education where we could say, well, there's a bit of, you know, fat to trim there and we could take it from there. There isn't. I mean, I think we need to invest and increase the budget within the education sector at all levels.
And it strikes me as strange that at this time of the year, there is a lot of noise and a lot of publicity and a lot of media attention surrounding this issue. And like you say, in the coming weeks, the letters will start coming home with the children, etc., etc. But as the year wears on, this seems to slip out of the limelight and slip away from the front pages of the papers and slip away from news bulletins until this time again next year. Is there more that could be done to keep it up there in the public eye?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of the media, there's a finite attention span for anything within the media, I think. But I suppose on an ongoing basis throughout the year, there is work being done on this. I mean, there have been circulars that have gone out from the department in terms of how to reduce costs. There's been initiatives brought into schools where budget has been developed around book rental schemes, and there's incentives for school to take part in those book rental schemes, which can significantly reduce the cost of books for families. So during the year, there are a number of initiatives that do happen. But I suppose in terms of the public eye, there's always competing news stories. So it is useful for, I think, for us and for other people in the sector, for the media to give it this attention every year. So it keeps being, I suppose, highlighted and attention drawn to it. But I think then the rest of the year, we're probably trying to work on initiatives to address it. And there have been initiatives to address it. There's a lot more schools now that would move away from the very expensive crested uniforms and to more generic uniforms than they used to be. The book rental schemes have really taken place in a lot of schools where they didn't have them before because of grants made available. So there have been initiatives that I would say have directly come from this kind of annual pressure on the whole cost issue.
Well, Áine, I can promise you on behalf of the Northside Today team at Near FM, we will not let it go 12 months before we talk to you again. We will check in with you, I promise, this side of the dreaded C word, and we'll see how you are progressing, and hopefully somebody with real power will have listened and made what seems to me to be pretty simple changes that could ease the burden of parents, like you said, the shared book schemes and the uniform situation. You know, like, they are simple changes, but they would make a big, big difference to people's pockets.
Absolutely, yeah.
Áine Lynch from the National Parents Council Primary, thank you so much for joining us on Northside Today. Thanks a million, Áine, and appreciate your time.
Okay.